हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 27, Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. Okay, page 10, verse 2-20. Hiccups, right, so we're discussing, continuing with the discussion on the anubhavas, right, the different ecstatic symptoms that arise when one comes in contact with the various, you know, aspects of Krishna that inspire one in love for Krishna. Hiccups. O daughter, are you worrying uselessly that something has happened to your dear friend Radha? Do not apply any medicine. Give up this loud weeping. O beautiful-eyed girl, today Radha, afflicted by the transformations brought on by love for Krishna, is afflicted with hiccups while chanting his name incessantly. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes belching also becomes a symptom of ecstatic love for Krishna. There is evidence of this in Purnamasi's address to one crying associate of Radharani. My dear daughter, don't be worried because Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom. Do not cry so loudly. This belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall arrange to cure this belching symptom immediately. Don't be worried. The statement by Purnamasi is evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching. Jiva Goswami. This is the statement of Purnamasi to Lalita. In the Ujjwala Nilamani, she is described as having a sympathetic mood of love. Thus, there is a suggestion that she will find a remedy for Radha's hiccups. 2221. Other symptoms such as extreme goosebumps and sweating blood are not described here since they are very rare. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes trembling of the whole body and hemorrhaging from some part of the body are also manifested in response to ecstatic love for Krishna. But such symptoms are very rare, and therefore Srila Rupa Goswami does not discuss any further on this point. Jiva Goswami. Vapur ut Folata refers to extreme goosebumps on the body. Raktodgama refers to blood oozing with the perspiration. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. These two are actually extreme versions of the sattvika bhavas of Pulaka and Sweta. Right, so they come in the sattvika bhavas. So it'll be coming from the when the life airs and all that, when they take the prominence of causing the ecstatic symptoms, so it'll come on the from the physical side, like that. So in here is there, but it goes into that side over there. End of the second wave in the southern section, entitled Anubhava. Chapter 28, Existential Ecstatic Love. Beginning of the third wave in the southern section, entitled Sattvika Bhava. Right, so that's why it was the last there, so it's within Sattvika Bhava it's being described as well. Outline of Sattvika Bhava. 1. Definition of Sattva and Sattvika Bhava. 2. Types. A. Snigdha, experienced by devotees related to rasas, primary and secondary. Digdha, experienced by devotees not directly related to rasa with Krishna. And Ruksha, experienced by persons with Ratyabhas. 3. Cause of the 8 sattvika bhavas. 4. 8 sattvika bhavas. Stumbha, paralysis. Sweta, perspiration. Swara bheda, choked voice. Vepatu, quivering of the body. Vai vanya, change of complexion. Ashru, tears. Pralaya, fainting. and five, then you have the intensity of them. So dumayita, smoky, one sattvika bhava which can be concealed. Jvalita, luminous, two or three sattvika bhavas at once, concealed with difficulty. Right. So dumayita is one sattvika bhava is manifest, you can hide that. Two or three, it becomes difficulty. Deepta, brilliant, three to five sattvika bhavas at once, unconcealed. Udipta, very brilliant, five or more sattvika bhavas at once. And Sudipta, extremely brilliant, intense Udipta state in Mahabhava. It happens. Abhasa, false forms of sattvika bhava. Ratyabhasa bhava, sattvika bhasa. Ratyabhasa bhava, sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhasa, generated by ratyabhas. Right, so that was described before in the Ruksha, right? Then sattva bhasa bhava, sattvika bhasa, generated by a touch of emotions. Nishattva, generated by practice. Pratipa, generated in enemies of Krishna. Okay? So you have what is there, then the causes, the eight different things, the intensity, and then you have those that are not actually, appears to be the same symptoms, but they're not actually coming from proper devotional service. Right? 2, 3, 1. On the topic of rasa, when the heart becomes overwhelmed by ratis, or bhavas in relation to Krishna, either directly or indirectly, the learned call this sattva. 2, 3, 2. The transformations which arise solely from the sattva are called sattvika bhavas. There are three types of sattvika bhavas. Smigda, affectionate, arising from genuine rati. Digda, tainted, arising from other emotions. And ruksha, contaminated, arising in a person without rati. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna, in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, this status is called existential ecstatic love. The symptoms originating from existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings, namely, moist, burnt, and dried up. Jiva Goswami. In this definition, it should be understood that transformations arising from sattva, sattvad asmat samutpanna, should really mean transformations arising solely from sattva. That is because the anubhavas, such as dancing, also arise from sattva, heart overwhelmed by rati, but in combination with the intelligence. The sattvika bhavas, such as being stunned, stumba, arise from sattva alone, with no help from the intelligence. Thus, there is no overlapping of items between anubhava and sattvika bhava. Footnote 1. Sattvika bhavas can be defined as completely spontaneous transformations of the body, without any use of intellect. Another meaning of sattvika is nature, unaffected by other elements. So, it'll be that nature, there won't be any other aspects there. The sattva is there, so there won't be any other mix of something else that's causing it. Right? So, if you have the aspect where the static point is there, you can think about those those aspects and continue that. That would be the anubhavas. What is just coming in contact with something connected to Krishna, and so then the static symptoms arise on their own. That's the sattvika bhavas. Does that make sense? 2, 3, 3. Snigdha sattvika has two divisions, principal and secondary. 2, 3, 4. Principal snigdha sattvika bhava. The principal sattvika bhavas arise from a principal rati. The wise call this relationship with Krishna direct. Jiva Goswami. The nature of snigdha sattvika bhavas is that the heart is overcome by either the principal or secondary ratis, which will be explained. In general, the characteristic for all snigdha sattvika bhavas should be understood in this way. The heart should be agitated by one of these types of ratis. 2, 3, 5. An example of principal snigdha sattvika bhava. Radha, whose teeth were whiter than the kunda flower, while making an excellent garland of kunda flowers for Mukunda, heard the sweet song of the flute, she became stunned. In this example, being stunned is the principal snigdha sattvika bhava, since it arises from a principal rati, madhura rati. In the same way, the appearance of other sattvika bhavas, such as perspiring, should be understood. So all of them coming up, if they come from some direct relationship with Krishna, then it will have that. Otherwise, we'll see, then now it'll talk about the secondary, how they come up. 237. Secondary snigdha sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhavas which arise from a secondary rati are called secondary snigdha sattvika bhavas. The relationship with Krishna is somewhat indirect. 238. When Krishna, the rain cloud for the chataka birds of their eyes, was brought to Mathura, Jashoda, turning red-faced in anger, began to scold Nanda Baba with a choked voice. In this example, the change of color and choked voice of Jashoda had been caused by the secondary rati of anger, Krodha rati. Right, so you have the five main, and then you have the 12 secondary rasas. So when it comes out from a secondary rati, that will then be the secondary sattvika bhava. Right? When it comes up from the direct primary, then it will... Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. Moist, existential, ecstatic love aroused in connection with Krishna is divided into two, direct and indirect. Radharani was weaving a garland of kunda flowers, and upon hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, she immediately stopped her work. This is an example of direct, moistened, existential, ecstatic love. Indirect, moistened, existential, ecstatic love is described in the following statement. Krishna, who is called Purushottama, is to the eyes of Mother Jashoda, just like the cloud is to the eyes of the Chataki bird. When Krishna had been brought to Mathura, Mother Jashoda, being very anxious and angry, began to rebuke the king of Mathura. Jiva Goswami. Overcome with Krodha Rati, a secondary Rati, Jashoda has changes in her color and voice. These sattvika bhavas are classified as secondary. Footnote 2. It is indirectly related to Krishna because the anger is not directed to Krishna but to Nanda. Right, so these secondary rasa, they're directed somewhere else. Like that. But in relationship to Krishna. Like that. Digdha sattvika bhava. When the heart of a person who possesses genuine rati is overcome by an emotion other than the primary or secondary rasa, and if his emotion appears along with the genuine rati, it is called digdha sattvika bhava. An example. One time, Jashoda, while dreaming at night, saw the huge body of Putana rolling on the ground in her house. Her body began shaking. Then, and in great agitation, she began to search for Krishna. Jiva Goswami. This verse describes what happened in Jashoda's dream, since there is no scriptural description of the real event happening in her house. Because of the bewilderment caused by the dream, she immediately developed fear for Krishna and accompanying secondary rati because of not seeing him present. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. She began to shake, sattvika bhava, because of seeing in a dream the body of Putana rolling around in her house. Thus, the sattvika bhava did not arise from either a primary or secondary rati. Then she began to search for Krishna. This indicates an appearance of her genuine rati along with the sattvika bhava. 2.3.11. Since the shaking of her body accompanies the actual rati for Krishna, it is called digdha. Right? These first ones, they're connected with Krishna himself. And so then with their primary rati with Krishna. Right? So then, what is this called? Yeah, the snigdha. Yeah, so the snigdha experience of the devotees related to the rasa, digdha experience by devotees not directly related to rasa or Krishna. Right? That'll be all by these great devotees. Then we have the ruksha experienced by persons with rakya bhas. Right? That'll be the next. Srila Prabhupada. Oh, okay, no, here. Yeah. 2.3.11. Since the shaking of her body accompanies the actual rati for Krishna, it is called digda. Srila Prabhupada, burnt existential ecstatic love is divided into three. And one example is as follows. One day, Mother Jashoda was dreaming that the gigantic demon Putana was lying on the courtyard of her house. She immediately became anxious to seek out Krishna. 2.3.12. Ruksha Satvika Bhava. Sometimes there are apparent sattvika bhavas similar to those of persons possessing rati, appearing in persons without real rati, through astonishment or bliss caused by hearing about the sweet and astonishing Lord. This is called ruksha sattvika bhava. And at 2.3.13, an example. A person who is revealed to be devoid of rati by absorbing himself in the pursuit of material enjoyment may develop hair standing on end after being excited by songs concerning the pastimes of Madhava. 2.3.14. The standing of hairs on end which arise without real rati being present in the person is an example of ruksha sattvika bhava. Ratyabhash, which appears in persons desiring liberation, as described previously, 1.3.44, gives rise to ruksha sattvika bhava. Footnote 3. A person with bhava bhasa may show ruksha sattvika bhava. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.3.44-45 states, quote, though this semblance of rati is very astonishing for the innocent, those in knowledge understand what it really is by seeing the characteristics. This is called ratyabhash, a semblance of rati. The semblance of rati has two types, reflection, pratibimba, and splendor, chaya.
Earlier in the next devotion, Krishna said that the five principal elements of devotional service, by rendering any of those, even a neophyte can experience ecstatic symptoms. Is that referring to this category or one of the earlier categories? Is it ratyabhash or is it actually?
Oh, it would be, but I'm saying you have a wide range here of the ratyabhash, those who are actually properly situated in devotional service and practice, and then those who is just, they're not, they may be, yeah, they're just in contact with devotees, and because of that, then they may get some symptoms. Does that make sense? Because you have I think the difference, that you have the pratibimba and the chaya.
Okay. Connect and devotional service divided into three levels. First one is the Aropya Bhakti, which is just superimposing without any desire for practicing devotional service.
Okay.
But these two comes in the middle category, I forgot the exact name, which is like you have a desire for practicing bhakti, but so this jnana and then karma are prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is in some sense related, then it becomes favorable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is just arogya, that abhasa, which sometimes materialist.
Yes, the Maya body.
Okay.
Like you'll see that these things happening. Let's say they're having a Bhagavad Sapta on that, and if materialists are there, materialists are speaking, but then there'll be ecstatic symptoms. So that'll be this. Yep. But for the devotees, then they don't have rati, but then they have some experience like that. So that's in line with, but it's, you know, it's saying it's dried up, so it's, you know, we're seeing it as something very prominent. But compared to the original, it's small. You know, but it can still be inspiring. Okay. Yeah. But one shouldn't think it's on the same level. That's the point. So how do you try to claim it's on the same level?
Somebody mentioned yesterday in my statement that the Brahmavadis, they can be classified as devotees of Brahman, which means they are also kind of devotees of Krishna, because Brahman is so. What do you think about
them? Oh, if they're a Brahmavadi, but if they're a Mayavadi, then no, they're just offensive. Because Brahmavadi means everything's Brahman. So they see, the Brahmavadi does not think that the Lord's form is illusion. They think the Lord's form is transcendental. But the point is they're only seeing up to the point of being the absolute truth. So they don't understand beyond that. Is that he can be a person, he can be controlled of everything like that, but they're viewing all these aspects of Brahman and Paramatma, I mean Bhagavan and Paramatma, through the vision of the absolute truth. So they just see everything on that platform. And so you can say that they're devotees, on that level. Because you do have, depending on how you're categorizing, then you can have. But when you get into, seriously, into pure devotional service, then no, it's not. Yeah.
That connection, Jiva Goswami says, the chief meaning of Brahman actually refers to Bhagavan.
Yes.
So the word Brahman itself can mean Brahman as the Brahmavadis or Paramatma or Bhagavan.
Mm.
So based on the attitude and the advancement, one can realize that
realizing these three features. Yeah,
because
yeah, Brahman is non-dual entity. That means Krishna.
Hmm.
So Prabhupada in the TLC mentions whenever we see Brahman, you just put Krishna there. The Vaishnavas will think Krishna. Yeah.
So Brahman means the literal meaning is supremely great. And because the qualities of Krishna are unlimited and supremely great, that's why he's Brahman.
He is, yeah.
That context.
Yeah, so then some people they prefer, because that's all the further they can understand. They can't understand the six opulences and all these things, the pastimes, so they just see that feature of his greatness. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, like you have, some groups have a list of names, and the first one is, he's the greatest.
Yes.
Like that. Okay. Verses 3.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, there. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. When there are manifestations of ecstatic symptoms in the body of a non-devotee, these are called dried-up symptoms of ecstatic love. The non-devotees are actually materialistic, but in contact with some pure devotee, they sometimes may manifest some symptoms of ecstasy. Devotional scholars call these dried-up symptoms. 2, 3, 15. When the heart becomes overwhelmed with bhava related to Krishna, it offers itself to the prana with force. The prana undergoes change and disturbs the body. Then the sattvika bhava, such as paralysis, become visible in the devotee's body. Right, so this is then how it works. Right, so that that surrender to Krishna, absorption in Krishna, when it has that aspect of the prana, the life force, then it has effect on the body in that way. Right, so it's coming from that aspect. It doesn't, yeah, the jnana bhavas means the intelligence is involved.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to see the different things, but the other, this one is not. So it gives, you know, yeah. 2, 3, 16. The eight sattvika bhavas are paralysis, perspiration, hairs standing on end, choking of the voice, trembling, changing color, tears, and fainting.
So hair standing on end is the eight.
Hair standing on end. That was the one that was not mentioned in that list. I've gone through more than I thought.
Yeah.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada, there are eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love. Becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. 2, 3, 17. The prana takes shelter of the four elements, earth, water, fire, and ether, and sometimes takes shelter of itself. The prana then moves throughout the body. 2, 3, 18. When the prana takes shelter of the earth element, paralysis arises. When the prana takes shelter of the water element, tears arise. When the prana takes shelter of the fire element, perspiration and change of color arise. When the prana takes shelter of the ether element, fainting arises. 2, 3, 19. When the prana takes shelter of itself, to a small degree the hairs stand on end. When the prana takes shelter of itself to a moderate degree, the body shakes. When the prana takes shelter of itself to an extreme, the voice chokes up. Srila Prabhupada. The scientific explanation of these eight symptoms is given by Rupa Goswami as follows. When the vital force of life is in contact with earth, one is stunned. When the same force comes into contact with water, there is shedding of tears. When the same force comes into contact with fire, there is perspiration. When the force comes into contact with the sky, there is complete devastation. When the force comes into contact with the air, there is trembling, failing of the voice, and standing of the hairs on the body.
What is meant by complete devastation?
A fainting. Because nothing's functioning. So it is just the functioning just stops, so then one faints. Okay. 2320. Because of this, the sattvika bhavas produce intense disturbance both externally and internally. The wise call the disturbance of the body external the anubhava of the sattvika bhava, and the disturbance of the heart internally the vyavichari aspect of the sattvika bhava. Okay, so then you also here now the fun part is now you're mixing within the what? Right? The anubhava and the vyavichari. Srila Prabhupada. These symptoms are sometimes manifested internally and sometimes externally. The pure devotee always feels such symptomatic expressions within himself. But being afraid of outsiders, he does not generally manifest them externally. Jiva Goswami. Because of what has been explained, atā, there are manifest strong, sputam, disturbances externally and internally. This distinguishes the sattvika bhavas from the anubhavas, which are called udbhasvaras, affecting the body only. Bhavata in this verse refers to the vyavachari aspect of the sattvika bhavas. Right. So, the anubhavas affect only the bodily aspect, while the sattvika bhavas then can have both internal and external. So the external aspect, that's the anubhava aspect of the sattvika bhavas. The internal would be the vyavachari. Okay. 2321. Paralysis. Paralysis arises from joy, fear, astonishment, disappointment, and indignation. Footnote 4. In this list of causes, only fear is the secondary rati. The others are vyavichari bhavas. This would produce an absence of mukya rati, snigdha sattvika bhavas. However, when vyavichari bhavas are mentioned as causes, this implies as well the mukhya ratis as causes. Otherwise, most of the sattvika bhavas described would be digdha, arising from the vyavicharis rather than a primary or secondary rati. For instance, harsha is cited as a cause of stamba in verse 22. This is similar to the example of mukhya snigdha sattvika bhava when given in verse 5. For Radha develops stamba on hearing Krishna's flute. Thus the sequence in verses 5 or verse 22 would be mukhya rati, a particular udipana, harsha, sattva, and then stamba. Probably good if we put what they are, you know, in brackets. Otherwise, it's a little too early for us to see.
There was a lot in that paragraph.
Every time.
Huh?
Every time
this is for the game. Yes. Yeah. Yes, because see is that you're having the one means it's all in connection, but then the vyabhicharas you're seeing it in the context of Krishna. And so then there'll be some aspect where it'll bring about more that it will still have that aspect of being the primary. Otherwise, you'll only have the secondary, or not primary and secondary, but you won't have the digda, according from the secondary rasa. So the primary is the vyavicharya will be. It's a flavor on top of a primary aspect, a secondary aspect. Does that make sense? Because the vyavicharya will be the transitory aspects that come up. Like, let's say there's one main emotion. Let's say, like, someone's angry. But within that, you can also have that they may be aggressive, or they might actually be, how do you say, you know, the opposite. They don't even have any confidence or anything. They withdraw or something like this. These are all that can be happening in moment to moment in the same anger. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect of the vyavichari. Is there transient symptoms that are coming over a main emotion. And so then you get the variety within that main emotion. Mm-hmm. So it's being pointed out here is that because of it being fixed in some main emotion connected with Krishna, mm-hmm. that rati, these other ones that come up, then they'll still be counted in that same category. Otherwise, if it's just, if we're just taking it because it has that vyabhichari aspect or the secondary aspect, then basically most all the things would end up in the, as I mentioned, the digda. That is, that it's not the direct or primary aspect. So, I mean, not primary, but what was the thing you were saying here? Snigda, related to rasa, primary sight, digda experience, but not directly related to rasa with Krishna. So there are underlying aspects that are on top of the snigda, the primary and secondary. Right? So if it's just on the indirect, then it will be the digda. But if it's a vyabhichari on top of the aspect of snigda, it's still counted as snigda. Does that make any more sense? Good job.
So the example of fear in this particular list is an example of digda. The example in the list, when it mentions fear, that is an example of digda.
Yes, but when the fear is within already a main thing that's coming up, then it's not counted in that way. It'll be counted within the snigda.
Okay.
That's the point being made here, is because you have 33 vyabhichari bhavas, and so then those influencing whatever is the main bhavas and anubhavas that are going on there, then it will still come out as that, as the aspect of snigda.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
No?
Yes. Oh. Maybe not.
Yes.
Another explanation about, another definition about the vyabhichari bhava is that it goes contrary to the mukhya rati.
Okay.
So you're manifesting a bhava which is actually contrary to what is the mukhya rati of that.
Mm.
So in that way it is also categorized. So I think from that it can be.
Okay, yes. It just means it's an underlying aspect, because it's not necessarily something that's because we're talking about the ecstatic symptom that comes up.
Yes.
So then you're going to have something main is there, and then they're going to have the underlying aspect. Right? And the underlyings, those can keep changing. But the main aspect, that will run for a longer period of time.
Yes.
That makes sense? And then you have the stai bhava, which is always fixed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
So your mukhya rati and stai bhava is one and the same.
Sorry?
Your mukhya rati and stai bhava is one and the same. Can you see that?
The mukhya rati. Meaning, how are you using mukhya here?
Mukhya is the principle. Mm-hmm.
But you're not talking about the snigda.
No, not the snigda, mukhya rati. On page 14, 236, maybe. Since it arises from a principle rati, madhura rati, rather than 236.
So you're just asking if principal rati and mukhya rati are the same.
They are the same, but so mukhya rati and staiva, are they the same? Because madhura rati means staiva, madhura rati.
See, the stai bhava is the general mood that's there. It means you have the five kinds of relationships with Krishna. Then the rati means the particular attraction that's there. So rati will be, it can be a madhurya rati or a vatsalya rati, but the rati aspect you're bringing out is that particular attractiveness. And the vatsalya will be how that's expressed. So there's an attraction for Krishna, that's rati. Then that is expressed through parental rasa, that will be the stai bhava.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So rati, you're bringing out that it is the aspect of being attracted to Krishna. then the particular attraction that's there, we'll call it by that particular rasa. Does that make sense? It's just like saying someone's hungry. That's an attraction, the food. Right? And then they want to eat this particular kind of food. Like that. So, in one sense, you can say that the rati and the staibhav are the same, but at the same time, you see is that the acharyas are bringing out the various aspects. So you can either talk about the stai bhava, or you can talk, which includes the rati, or talk about the rati, which includes the stai bhava. But the point is you two different aspects. But it's still one thing.
So now I should be quite deep and scientific.
Yes, it's very scientific. See, it's what Prabhupada mentions is that science means the application. Theory, that's just the knowledge. But it becomes science when you actually apply it. So when Prabhupada is saying the complete science of devotional service, that means all of this is practically applicable. It's not theoretical. It means us hearing it, that's theory. So when someone says, oh, that's just theory, that means that's all the farther their understanding is. But if there's realization so they can use it, it's not theory anymore, it's science. So that's the thing, is that the same body of knowledge can be just theory to one person and science to another. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole that should be understood. Science is not the theory. Science is the application of the practical application of the theory. You know, so Abhideya, that's science. The knowledge of it, that's not the science. It's the knowledge of it so it can be applied. Like, that's why mental speculators, that's knowledge because you can't apply it. Or it's unclear how to apply it, or like that. But for the devotees, then you're explaining the knowledge about Krishna, but it's applicable, so therefore it's the science of Krishna consciousness. Right? Because the idea is that understanding it, you will apply it. While for the others, they just hear about it to understand just because it's fun.
But now before application, we need to know the theory.
Yes, but we can also, whatever we have, we can apply it. And the theory is so nice that even if we don't understand it, we can still apply it. Like, we can still wash the pots, even though we don't understand the transcendental nature of washing Krishna's pots. And because of that, we get purified, and then we start to appreciate Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Yeah, like a... Remember, I can't remember where it was. It may have been in Scotland or something. So one devotee... Oh, it means he was... Before he was a devotee, he would come into the restaurant and wash pots. And from that, he'd get prasad. I'm not sure if they would pay him, but at least he'd get prasad. And so he'd do that for a long time. And then after a while, then from taking prasad, then, you know, he became a devotee. So he didn't know any of the philosophy, and it still worked. So it's very perfect.
Applying without understanding, is that the opposite of Kriti? And then applying without understanding,
the gyan? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then understanding what you're applying, that's the gyan. So the whole idea is that when you say science, it must be taken through to its application. So. Paralysis arises from joy, fear, astonishment, disappointment, and indignation. There is immobility of the action sentence, senses, and knowledge-gathering senses. So it means the knowledge-gathering senses and the working senses, they stop functioning, right? But you're still conscious, so that's paralysis, right? If you leave devastation, it means you faint. You know, same basic thing. Srila Prabhupada, becoming stunned. The symptom of being stunned is caused by ecstatic tribulation, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, and anger. This symptom is exhibited by a stoppage of talking, a stoppage of movement, a feeling of voidness, an extreme feeling of separation. Jiva Goswami. Stambha is a particular condition of the mind. However, absence of voice and other elements, Vag Adi, Rahityam, mentioned in the last line of this verse, are transformations of only the external body. Stambha or paralysis belongs to the sattvika bhavas because of being situated both internally and externally. The first stage of stambha is subtle, internal, and later stage becomes gross, external. From the external transformations, one should understand that internal transformations have occurred. Right? So the external is only going to happen because the internal. The two states manifest in that order. Thus, the particular condition is called stambha, which arises from joy, fear, astonishment, disappointment, and anger, which produce internal disturbance, sattva, where the prana takes shelter of the various elements. Followed by tatra, absence of speaking, vagadi rahityam. The explanations of the other sattvika bhavas follow the same pattern. Emotions causing internal transformation produce external effects. So the emotion is there, and because of that, it affects the life airs that take shelter of one of the five elements. And because of that, then produces an external effect.
Right. Can we make a connection with the material emotion?
It'll all happen, but here it's all happening because of chemicals, so it's not... all the hormones and all these different things, they cause all these things. Otherwise, it's the same reaction, just you get a different feeling for it. Because here is the paralysis will be what you'll see, but that can come from joy, fear, astonishment, disappointment, and anger.
Okay.
Right? But the, so that will be caused by here, I'm sure, is whoever deals in these kind of areas, they can tell you what hormone is acting at what time and this kind of thing, and it causes these symptoms. So here it has to be done mechanically because you're not dealing with the spiritual body. Does that make sense? But it'll have that same kind of thing. That's why we can relate to it.
Yes.
Because that's the origin. What's here is just a reflection of that. So it's made to function and get the same. It'd just be like a robot. You know, you do certain things to get the robot to react in a certain way. It's a mechanical thing. So since there's no spiritual body, and therefore spiritual motions and all that, therefore it's mechanically done. But it's the same kind of thing. That's why we can relate to it. But the point is here these things don't bring about bliss. But there they bring about ananda. Because of its connection to Krishna. Yes.
Otherwise, in this case, the emotions are materially, chemically motivated. Is it just a shadow? That's why it created some effect?
Yeah, it means it's just something is there. Because the point is we wanted to enjoy Krishna's energies without Krishna. We didn't want it to be something else. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, let's say... you have somebody's car, the rich man's car, you want to enjoy the car without the rich man, so you take the car out. It's not that, as you drive out of the driveway, it turns into a turnip or something like that, and then you end up rolling down the street, and that it didn't come out quite as good as you wanted. It'll keep that same form. Point is that you don't have that relationship, you don't have anything else, so therefore... You'll run into obstacles, like police chasing you and things like that. So that's the difficulty, is that we're trying to enjoy Krishna's energy without Krishna. So we're trying to enjoy the same things of the spiritual world just without Krishna. So then we're giving the material energy, which is unconscious. And because it's not in contact with Krishna directly, therefore, then, how much, it'll only have that little bit of energy to it. Because the point is, it's the devotion that's the interesting part. The mechanics of the things, that's not what's the interesting part. But when you don't have devotion to Krishna, all we do is notice that little bit that's there. It's just like, how you say... Let us say you have a plate, right? And there was something on the plate, but now there's just basically nothing there but a little bit of whatever it is. So you'll say nothing's on the plate, so you won't be interested. But a dog will sit there and lick it for like 5 minutes. You know, until such time as it only tastes like a plate. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So in compared to actually eating something, just licking the plate isn't that great. But if you don't have the thing to eat, then licking the plate, then that's, you know, considered. Yeah. So the material world, because you don't have the connection to Krishna, and therefore that devotional activity connected to Krishna, then we consider, you know, just licking the plate as fantastic. You know, and then there'll be the quality of the plate, how big the plate is, you know, and all that kind of stuff like
that.
How
long it's been sitting there.
Yeah, how long it's been sitting there, you know, my plate's bigger than your plate, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. But that's what we're dealing with.
Excellent analogy, Mark.
Kukur tattva. Yes. Okay. Yeah. There is inactivity of the action senses. Nishchalyam, and there is no inaction, shunyata, of the functioning of knowledge gathering senses as well. There's also inaction. Okay. There is, however, operation of the mind. This state differs from pralaya or feigning, in which there's no operation even of the mind because of disappearance of all functions. Right? So you have the 11 functions. So in paralysis, you know, stumba, then the 10 senses stop functioning, but the mind still functions. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so then fainting means the mind stops functioning also, so all 11. So that's why it's called complete devastation, means nothing is functioning. Because that's what's worked is the mind and senses. Okay.
And all this information is for?
Relishing transcendental ecstatic emotions in Krishna consciousness. I say you'll get a better discount on Amazon if you know.
First day delivery.
Yeah.
So it's just the path how to do it, because
it's the path of what is there, but it's appreciation of those who are following the path, because you see is that when Radharani is like, well, here is that Radharani she's making a garland for Krishna, and in making the garland she hears Krishna's flute, she becomes stunned. So then we understand from that how you understand that is, that means all the senses stop, what that means, and just in her mind she's just absorbed in Krishna. So it means she's already absorbed in that transcendental ecstasy in connection with Krishna, and because of that's effect upon the prana, the life airs, then that is affecting, you know, these other aspects, I guess, the earth, and so therefore then all the senses stop. But so you can appreciate, you know, the degree that's there. Otherwise, you just hear it. It's nice because it's about Krishna and Radharani and all that. But then here you can appreciate more what's going on.
Mark, you still have two oceans to go after this. Is this required knowledge to understand what's being discussed in the later two oceans?
Well, in one sense, you have the aspect where Prabhupada says that sugar is sweet. Anywhere you'll appreciate it. Anywhere you like. So, as far as appreciating Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter. But as far as the knowledge goes, then they build on themselves. Like that. You know, it'd be just another thing. It's just like, let's say, okay. There's some gossip, you know, is there. And so then you have about, you know, person A and person B, okay? And so at face value, the gossip is quite decent, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But now you know other things about these two people. So does the gossip not go to a deeper level? Yes, so that's what all this is about. understanding that deeper level.
I was very understandable.
Okay.
Quite relatable.
Quite relatable, yes. Yeah. 2, 3, 22. See, that means because you know the science. Right? You know?
For better or for worse.
And generally, all the real good gossip is always in consideration of, or for better or for worse. You know, like that. Right? Because if there's not, there, if they haven't said for better or for worse, then generally there's no real gossip. You know? Wow, he ate a leftover potato from last night in the morning, you know? Yeah. That's not really A-class gossip.
You don't really discuss how advanced is somebody in the context of gossip.
Well, that's another thing. That's another thing. That's the end. I'm just saying the maybe it wasn't clear enough on the for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for health, sickness and health. Yeah. So when it's in that context, now it gets into good gossip.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, you left, ate some leftovers. Who cares? You know. Yeah, but he was eating with somebody. You know, like that. Who was that? Oh, now we're getting into something like that. You know? Oh yeah, no, that was the maybe it was 2:27. 2:322. Paralysis arising from joy from the third canto. Okay, so now he's gone through paralysis arising from joy, fear, astonishment, disappointment, and indignation or anger. So now he's going through paralysis arising from joy. So this is how you get the unlimited variety of things, that you have all these different ones. Each one has so many subsections, and in that you have all that. Then we're going to get into the Vyavichari Bhavas. You add 32 other qualities on that, you know. And so that way you have unlimited. Like you see with music, you have 7 notes, and you can have such unlimited amount of music. So imagine that you have all these things on top of other things, and then what you get. So, yeah. In other words, you can enjoy with Krishna eternally, and it's ever fresh. That's right.
The bottom line.
Yes, the bottom line. Okay, paralysis arising from joy from the third canto. The damsels of Raja, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2:14. Because here it mentions stunned intelligence, so they weren't able to. Srila Prabhupada, Uddhava was describing Krishna's pastimes to Vidura. He said, one day the gopis became stunned when Krishna, in the dress of a gardening maid, entered the greenhouse and enlivened them with joking and laughter. When Krishna left the greenhouse, the gopis were seeing Krishna so ecstatically that it was though both their minds and eyes were following him. These symptoms signify that although the gopis' business was not finished, they had become stunned with ecstatic love. Right? So even though there was things to do, they were game stunned and they were just absorbed in that way. 2:3:23. From fear. When Devaki saw her son Krishna, dearer than billions of her lives, being attacked by the wrestlers, her eyes became dry and she became paralyzed. Srila Prabhupada, another example of being stunned took place when Krishna was surrounded by various wrestlers in this sacrificial arena of Kamsa. His mother, Devaki, then became stunned and her eyes dried up when she saw Krishna among the wrestlers. Right? So these are going through and showing one ecstatic symptom at a time.
Yes.
But as it mentioned, you can have 2, 3, 5, like this, all at once. So, yeah. Jiva Goswami. Krishna was more valuable or excellent, paradhyam, than 100 billion of her lives. Prana parardaha. Parardata. Okay. Parardhyam. Okay, so now we have the koti, so now here we have 100 billion. So that's a few more 10 millions.
For our good, what the number of Jews for the length of the life of the Lord from us.
Ah, okay.
Mm. Actually, Parad is half of his life.
Yes.
That's quite a bit bigger than Koti.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit big. Because Koti is mostly used. But here we see then the Parad Yom is used. So it's even more like that. 2.3.24. From astonishment from the 10th canto. Then, by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnu forms, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.56. Jiva Goswami. Ati kuto kot vritya stimi tai ka dasendriya means that Brahma's mind, agitated by extreme astonishment, became totally inactive and inundated with prema. Yes, just like the clay doll is there, and you're interacting with the doll and all that till you get to the temple. Then they'll just look at the deity and they forget about their doll. So, yeah. 2.3.25. Another example of stumbha arising from astonishment. Saying that Govardhan Mountain, touching the sky, was held up by the hand of the small child, the inhabitants of Braja became immobile like figures in a painting. Srila Prabhupada. There's also an example of the astonishment of Lord Brahma. It's explained in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 56 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Brahma understood that this cowherd boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he became stunned. All of his sensory activity stopped when he saw all the cowherd boys again, along with Krishna. Lord Brahma was so stunned that he appeared to be a golden statue with four heads. Also, when the residents of Braja found that Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, they became stunned. 2.3.26 from Sorrow. Seeing before them that Krishna was entering the stomach of Agasura, who was the brother of Bakasura, the devatas in the sky, overwhelmed with sorrow, became clearly like painted pictures. 2.3.27 from Indignation. When merciless Ashwatthama became eager to shoot arrows at Krishna, Arjuna, though hasty to respond to his enemy, became motionless for some time because of his anger. Srila Prabhupada, astonishment caused by lamentation was exemplified when Krishna was entering into the belly of Bakasura, and all the demigods from the higher planets became stunned with lamentation. A similar example of becoming stunned was visible in Arjuna when he saw that Ashwatthama was attempting to release his brahmastra at Krishna. 2.3.28. Perspiration. Perspiration arises from joy, fear, and anger. It makes the body damp. From joy. So this is, perspiration is one, then within that it also manifests with the other one. So. From joy. O Radha, with joyful eyes, why are you deriding the heat of the sun and emanating such an amiable nature? I understand that you have been pierced by the arrows of love, for you are perspiring on seeing lotus-eyed Krishna in front of you. Srila Prabhupada, perspiring. An example of perspiring because of jubilation is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. One gopi addressed Radharani thus, "My dear Radharani, you are rebuking the sunshine unnecessarily, but I can understand that you are perspiring only because of your becoming too lusty at seeing Krishna." Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.